Good evening.
Good evening.
Shall we go forward?
I suppose. We didn't have any drops on today, so maybe we'll have some more.
Well, we've been getting more, that they usually come in about 5-10 minutes later, so.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we're on the left.
You want to wait?
We'll be glad. Keep going with the letters.
Okay. We are starting with Pasuk 67 from Sulam Commentary on the Zohar from Parashat Vayera, Section 5. Start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud kutsha b'richu ishkinte bidkilu urchimu utkilu utkilu urchimu. Le'achta l'shem yudhe b'vavhe. V'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah. V'asok Torah mitzvah. V'ayino amadunai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kanunei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kanuneihu. Ileni nun beraza de ein so kal ho at one the talam beraza de ein so kimadi nun not lean lom hakein ame not lay ilain suti mean at one galyan willa galyan Ane tamirin alma desharin, desharyan atuan. The translation of verse 67. These letters are in accordance with the secret of the Ein Sof, and are under its influence. The sealed letters travel only as much as the vowels travel. The hidden secrets upon which these letters rest are both revealed and not revealed. I did not write a commentary for some reason. So I'll open it up to questions or comments or thoughts.
Okay, well, what came to mind to me was, I know until you taught us to look at the individual letters of a word, we'd look up a translation in a dictionary. And so up until that time, till we learned that way of getting hidden wisdom from the word, those words were not revealed to us, those letters in fact. So I can see where it doesn't necessarily mean that they can't be revealed. It's just maybe we haven't reached the level to know it, or we haven't been taught it, or because I think Hashem wants things revealed.
He wants things revealed, but. For most people, they reveal one item, and they stop looking for other ways of understanding the same verse, the same word, the same letter.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got gematria, we've got several ways, but I know there's much more ways, and we haven't really delved into vowels as much as that we could. I know myself, I can't give you the gematria without looking at a chart that has it for the vowels. I remember one is 16, one of the, either the patak or the kamats, but...
The kamats is 16 because it's the T. It has a line and a dot. A dot is 10 and a line is 6. So the kamats is 16. The lines are six, like a vav, and the dots are 10.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Okay.
But the gematria of the vowels really need to be added to the letters.
Mm-hmm. Well, we haven't done that very much. I've often wondered about letters that are doubled, you know, that will have a dagesh in them. Well, for example, Hana is a name that really has two nuns, but it'll be written with one, with dagesh. And I've often wondered if words like that, that you should actually figure in the gematria with a double letter. Or are you supposed to just skip it, you know, and just do one? The month of the R is another one. You know, there's two yuds there.
I'm not sure. Is Hana spelled with two N's? I thought it was always with one.
Well, in Hebrew, they only spell it with one, but they put a dagesh in the nun. Now, when they spell it in English, I'm sorry, you broke up.
Well, think about it. Hana is gematria 63.
Right, and it's Adina.
58 plus the hay is 3. The dagesh makes it 73. 73 is chokhmah. So you Adina. See the connection to the sefirot.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's the reason for the dagesh.
Okay.
Because it's adjusting the gematria.
Okay. How about with the ER, the month of ER that has to do with healing? The same thing. There's a dagesh in the yod. And in transliteration, they'll spell it with two yod. Well, Y's. You know, they'll spell it capital Y-Y-A-R. But having to write it on the chalkboard, you know, when I was teaching classes, you know, I paid attention to those things and put the dagesh where there was a dagesh, and it gave me an opportunity to, you know, to be able to say that what did the dagesh mean in that particular word was that the letter was doubled. So the dagesh has a value, a gematria value?
Any dot has a gematria of 10.
Okay. I didn't know that. So I didn't know it was included in the dagesh.
We usually don't add the vowel gematria, but that's another, you know, it's another level of gematria.
Right.
And if you have a shva with the sigol, or the sigol with the shva, you know, you're basically adding a gematria of 50, five dots. So it adds up pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. And yet the shva softens the sigol in vocalization.
Exactly. It quickens the sigol.
Mm-hmm. I've often wondered, too, with different accents, you know, like we have a southern accent and other people in other parts of the country or other countries, when they're making the sound of a Hebrew word, if that has any influence.
It does with respect to the ayin.
Okay.
It does in others as well. There are dialects throughout the Israeli world.
Mm-hmm.
There in America, basically everybody's been taught the same way.
Well, you know, when I first started at the synagogue with Hebrew, it was in 1986, and the one-dot vowel was taught as a hirik with a short
right.
I sound. And the hirik yad was then the long E sound. And the same thing with the serei and the serei yad. The serei was just eh, a short E sound, like an elephant. But the serei yad was the long A, A. But by the time, I would think probably, and all the textbooks, that's what it was. And then when I taught in 2004, the textbook that was in use for me to use was called Aleph Isn't Tough. And in that text, they said that it was the American publishers who decided that the Hirik and the Hirik Yod would both be pronounced E, long E, and that the Ray and the Yod would be A. And the reason given, because they felt like it would be easier for American speakers to just have to remember that, not two different sounds, which I thought was... So what I did, I said, okay, we'll let it go, because the recordings or the CD that went with the program would read it that way. But I said, I want to see a stick with the Israeli sounds with three words. That was Ken, which meant yes, because we're not going to say Cain for yes. Ben, the son, and Shem for name, to kind of keep in their memory that there was a change. But let's remember it by not changing those three particular Israeli words. So that's how I got around that.
I hear you. So what do you think the secret of the Ein Sof is?
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. I'm not so sure about Ein Sof, because when I think I've heard Ein Sof, well, I know it's in above absolute there, but or in absolute, it's in the spiritual world, but that we were not supposed to, I don't know, what would you say, seek after Ein Sof? So I'm not, I don't know much about Ein Sof.
There's some people who teach you're not supposed to go above the Ein Sof.
Above the Ein Sof, okay.
But the secret of the Ein Sof is the paradox of he and his name are one.
Oh.
So the letters are in accordance with the secret of Ein Sof is saying the paradox. The letters are can present paradoxes.
Mm-hmm. And that would be secrets to understand that.
Yes. Shall we go on to 68?
I was rereading it to see if there was... They had the word only, the seal letters travel only, is in capital letters, only.
Correct.
So he's stressing that.
And he's also... See, if you read it without the capitals... The sealed letters travel as much as they travel.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Rabbi Ashlag got these comments.
Right, I see that. Okay.
That's the technique to utilize when you try reading the English translation without Rabbi Ashlag's comments, and you'll get a sense for why it's there.
Right. Very similar to the way Rabbi Sutton does with his comments. You know,
right.
You would miss quite a bit. Well, I feel like we haven't even scratched the surface. I used to tell the students when they came that Hebrew letters, they were words, they were numbers, and they were worlds. And if people really understood the Olivet, they'd be breaking down the doors to come to the synagogue to learn Hebrew. But I don't feel like we've even... It's not even a drop in the bucket, I think, of information about the letters and the vowels. And do you feel that way, too?
Absolutely.
Like there's a whole... Just every once in a while, you get this revelation, you know, of how Hashem just spoke and things came to be. And I don't know, it's still a big, big secret. I guess we've pulled one or two little nuggets out of the big box of secrets.
We do that. There's always more, thank God.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Let's go on to Pasuk 68.
Okay.
Tesha shemahan galifan be'eser ve'inun kadma'a echiye yunhei echiye asher echiye hevav yunhei El Elohim, Evav Yudei, Tzivaot Adon Shaddai. A lot of names of God in that verse. 9 names are engraved in 10. Echiye is the Keter. Yudhei is Hachma. Echiye Asher Echiye is Bina. Yudhei Bavhei, whose vowels are like Elohim, is Israel Saba, and Tevunah. El is Chesed. Elohim is Geburah. Yudhei Bavhei is Tiferet. Tzivaot is Netzach and Hod. And Adon and Shaddai both refer to Yesod. Adon is the crown of Yesod. Shaddai is Yesod itself. My commentary. This verse is expressing correspondences between the names of Hashem and the Sephirot. The verse is clear as written unless you do not know the names, the name Israel Saba and Tivunah. These are the right and left columns of the essence of dots.
Oh,
questions.
Okay, I was going to ask you, I wasn't familiar with Tevunah. Saba, I think it's grandfather, isn't it?
Yes, Saba's grandfather.
Is Tevunah image?
I've never really seen Tevunah translated. What I've seen, the explanation of Tevunah and Israel Saba is... They're three components of Bina.
Oh, okay.
Which is really the three columns of Bina.
Okay. I thought Bina was Ehie, but they're saying it's Keter, but then Bina is Ehie, Asher Ehie. So that was
right.
New to me. I knew the vowels of Elohim, or the vows they put under Yod Heh Vav Heh. So I did know that. Other than that, that's... And I didn't know that Adon and Shaddai were split, meaning to Yesod. Crown of Yesod, what does that mean? Adon's crown of Yesod. I mean, I know Adon means master.
Right, but the crown is the head of the male organ as opposed to the stem.
Oh, yeah. I never think of that. I think I've asked you that several times.
Well, eventually you'll get it. It's quite understandable that it's not part of your consciousness.
Well, I know it goes with your soul, and I know it's sexuality as well as creativity. I know it's Joseph. It's just, I guess I don't think of the male organ very much. I'm sorry. I think it's interesting, too, that Sabaot, you know, goes with Netzach and Hod, because there's your victory. And then thankfulness is the victory. What's the difference between saying Tiferet is the Tetragrammaton and saying... Didn't it associate Yod Heh Vav Heh with something? No, that was the dot. Okay.
Yod Heh Vav Heh is associated with Tiferet, just like Tiferet is associated with Zeron Pint. But as you know from the Tikkun HaNefesh, that the Yod Heh Vav Heh with different vowels connects to the different sephirot within Zeron Pint.
Well, yes, that's true. And even though they're separate, I like to think of them as essences of Hashem, they're still all... It's like separating the sephirot when we separate all of these names. Am I thinking right when I think like that?
You should never think that things are separated. The sephirot are not separated, but of course they are separated. From the human perspective, the sephirot are separated. From God's perspective, they're always unified.
Right. Okay. That's what I was asking.
And that would apply to the vowels as well.
Okay.
I think we're about out of time.
Okay. Tonight, when you have the class, is this the commentary from your Shabbat Shekalim, or is it going to be from the Ari?
No, it's going to be from the Shekalim.
Okay, because I want to let the ladies know. This past meeting... the reaction of the students was amazing. They were literally, I really mean it, sitting on the edge of their seat. So,
they were, hold on a second, I want to stop the recording.
Okay.